Hello, everyone. This is Bill Knauer, and you're listening to Author, where one writer talks to another writer about writing in life, because what it takes to write the book you most want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you most want to lead. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, the premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing of life, as well as video and audio interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. You can find Author Magazine at authormagazine.org. And we are funded by the Great Pacific Northwest Writers Association, supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955. To learn more about the PNWA, and I must say, their upcoming Writers Conference, late July, don't miss it. It is one of the best you'll find in the country. If you want to learn more about it, go to pnwa.org. Well, about a month ago, I turned the reins of this show over to my good friend and fellow writer, Terry Persun. And we had such a good time. It went so well. We thought, let's do it again. So that's what we're going to do. I'm going to get Terry back on here. I'm going to let him run this show. Yes, I will. Terry, welcome to Author.
Thanks, Bill. I'm glad to be back.
Well, it's great to have you back. It's always a pleasure. You are a fellow booktroper like me. You're published by Booktrope. And for our listeners, what do you got out there right now that they can run out and buy first thing when this show is over?
Actually, I was going to pitch quickly 10 Months in Wonderland. I spent 10 months and 15 days in Thailand while I was in my teens and in the Air Force, and wrote this book based on a bunch of the stories that actually happened, some of the stories I'd heard, and you know, from other people, and just kind of compiled them all together to give an idea of how the kids that go to overseas like that change.
Oh. So, now, is this a memoir or sort of a fictionalized account of your life, of your time
very
there?
Fictionalized. Very fictionalized account. Like I said, a lot of the stories came from other people and things that happened to others. But
yeah.
It kind of exemplifies the idea of going somewhere totally away from your family and your support system and everything else, and the things that can happen to you. There's a lot of sex and drugs and things like that in the book.
What?
But all that kind of stuff happened over in Thailand. So
sure. Of course. Well, it sounds great. So 10 days in Wonderland.
10 months.
10 months. 10 months in Wonderland, and it is available now. Is that correct?
Yes, on Amazon.
Excellent. Okay. Yep. 10 Months in Wonderland by Terry Persun, P-E-R-S-U-N, not O-N, U-N. All right, Terry, the show is yours. I'm handing it over. You are now the host.
Great. I love these positions, you know? A position of power.
Nothing like authority, yes.
That's right. So what I wanted to start off with in this conversation is the whole concept of writing the book you want to write and living the life you want to live. And what does that mean? What does it take? I mean, what are the elements that you're putting in here? I mean, I keep thinking that, geez, you know, if I'm going to write a book, I need a character and a plot and conflict.
Yes, absolutely.
But, right. But I don't really want that much conflict in my life. So what is it?
Although
that
you will probably
saying?
Get it. Yes. So
there
here's what
go.
I mean by that. And I really do think that this is true. And the more I go into it, the more true it is. So to write the book, and what you were just talking about there are the mechanics of writing the book, and that's true. The mechanics of writing a book are very different than the mechanics of baking a cake or starting a business. However, the process of creation, which is really what I'm talking about, in my opinion and in my experience, doesn't vary from activity to activity. To create something, you have to put yourself into a state somehow of receptivity to receive sort of the plan. In the form of, and when we write, we say, oh, I just got a great idea. Oh, what an exciting idea. That's you receiving the plan, quote unquote, for a book that you then pursue by asking for more information about it, by sitting down at your computer or your pad, relaxing. Yes, you have to get relaxed to write. You have to kind of let your mind stop fussing about all the little things that it wants to fuss about. And bit by bit, the information you need to create or the ideas that you need to write the book come to you, and then you do your job of translating those ideas into words or into characters and scenes and so on. But the relationship between you and your skill and the sort of creative force that provides the ideas, that remains the same from activity to activity to activity. And so when I leave the desk and I'm not writing anymore and I go to my life and I ask myself, okay, what needs to be done today? If I'm wise, I will attempt to go into that same place I go to when I'm writing a story or an essay and I ask myself, what needs to happen next? Because I'm not really, you know this, Terry, we're not really asking ourselves, we're asking our imagination, which is kind of us and kind of not us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
We're asking for something because we, I don't know about you, but I don't know why a story works. I can't make it, but I can translate it, I can listen to it, I can help it, I can create an environment that allows it to come, but I don't understand, I've used this metaphor several times, but I really feel it's true, I don't know how to make a story any more than a gardener knows how to make a flower. I can grow a story the same way a gardener can grow a flower, but I can't make it, build it out of dust and dirt, you know, or sun. And so
yeah,
that's
you know,
what I mean.
I like that.
I think it's really true.
That's a good analogy. I was talking with a friend the other day who mentioned, how is it that writers can make me want to read the book even if there's no huge plot thing
right.
that's going on, you know, no climax or anything like that. Why is it that some books will make me just want to keep reading and reading and reading? Even though there's nothing, no bombs going off, you know, nobody's
yeah.
getting shot at.
And what did you answer?
And maybe that's what you're saying. I think what you're saying is the same thing. There's this somehow this, well, I think what I answered was that you get invested in the character.
Yeah.
Is what I think
yeah.
I told
yeah.
is that once you get invested in the character, you almost don't care if they're getting shot at or somebody's being rude to them. It's just as harmful.
Absolutely true. And, you know, one of the examples I always use is in memoir. And I think sometimes one of the worst or some of the most dangerous starting places for a memoir is a really amazing thing that happened to you. Because, and I'd like to use the example of being kidnapped by Somali pirates. If you're kidnapped by Somali pirates, that's incredible, right? Oh, my God, it's life and death, and you know, it's happening quickly, and there's all this action and guns and danger. But it'd be very tempting to simply write about what happened, to simply recount the events. But even for something that exciting, strangely, human beings don't care so much about what happened, but what it felt like when that happened. So what did it feel like to be kidnapped by Somali pirates? That's the question. What did it feel like to have your captor's hands on your hands? Did you ever feel a connection, an emotional connection to him or not? Did you think about your family? What did you think of? So what was the emotional experience of being captured by the pirates? That's the real question. And it's easy to get hypnotized by events, like, as you said, bombs going off. But if you tell me what the character feels like, you know, having someone be rude to them and them think, oh, people are always rude to me because I have no voice and because I'm useless and I've always been useless and I've never been any good. Many of us know that feeling and how crippling it feels to tell yourself you're useless and your voice is nothing. And of course you're going to sympathize and of course that's going to be powerful to you because you don't need to have a gun put to your head to feel as though your life has no value. You can just think that thought and there you are. So you don't need huge climactic events to be there.
So you're saying basically that it's about the walking around the subjects and looking at them from different angles, if you will, different senses, different thoughts, different feelings. So you're adding all the pieces of a human life to the writing.
The story exists beneath the surface of events. Your life exists beneath the surface.
Right. Okay.
Just as you, Terry Persson, are not your body, but you're the feelings and thoughts. Now, here's an example. For instance, this was a great example when I was with taking when I was working with my son. I use this in that memoir I wrote, known as Broken. I was working with him, and so he was diagnosed on the autism spectrum. And there's a lot of these kids; their attention is very difficult to get. Sometimes they go deeply within themselves. So I would be with him when he was much younger and was still having a lot of problems like this. And his attention would go very deeply within himself, and I could have his body, his little 7-year-old body, in my adult hands, and physically have him, and yet I would not have his attention. And so it felt as though, and really it was true, I did not have him. He was his attention, not his body. And I never saw that more clearly when I'd be like, grip both his arms in my hand saying, Sawyer, 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 and still he wouldn't look at me. And I knew I actually didn't have him. His body was nothing compared to his attention.
So this goes back to the book title, basically, being within yourself.
Exactly.
That's where all this being done.
This is where it
all happens.
All this happens
there. Yeah,
it's where your life comes from. You know, it's where your life comes from. It's where your life comes from, and it's where all your power is. And it doesn't. And of course, it's in writing. Because think about it, Terry. When you're writing a book, where does that book start? There's only where is it?
Yeah,
is
exactly.
It on the computer? No.
No.
It's in you. It's in you. That the whole damn thing's in there. And you can read all the books on writing you want. And you can read Author Magazine, and of course you should. But the fact is, in the end, everything you need is inside you, and that's where you got to go to find it. And no one else can see it. I can't see it. I can sit here and theorize about your book, but fat lot of good that's going to do. It's in you.
So what do you tell people when they come up to you and say, you know, I want to write a bestseller. What is it that I have to do? You right?
I just look at the bestseller list, see what they're all writing, and imitate it. Now, well, you could do that. You know, you could do that. Well, I would say write the book you absolutely would love to read. You know, you just think, I know what is exciting, and I'm going to write it. And I'm going to write it so it feels so much like the feeling I have when I think about a sexy book or a thrilling book or a romantic book or a poignant book. I'm going to write it so it feels like what I want to feel like when I'm done with a book. That's what I would say. And then see what happens, because the fact is, if you think you need it to be a bestseller to be happy, I think you're mistaken or you're not a writer. The fact is, if you write the book you absolutely want it to write and it's the thing you want it to and it's really what you want it to be, you will be thrilled, and you've had this experience, I know, when just one person reads it and says, ooh, I really liked it. It's kind of magical, even on that tiny level. And then you'll see how it grows.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I agree 100%. I think what happens is that people see others making money through Amazon or whatever, and they hear all the stories, and they say, oh, there's money out there to be made, and they look at that instead of as something that they have to do.
Yeah, yes. Because you can't – even if Amazon went away today and the bookstores all – went up in smoke, you'd still get up tomorrow probably and write. You'd cry a bit and say, what am I going to do now? But what are you going to do, not write? You're going to not have this experience? You're still going to do it.
You know, Richard Brautigan used to mimeograph poems and hand them out in street corners.
Sure.
Absolutely. You'd write anyway. We've both been writing for so many years. There's no doubt that we'd get up and write anyway. You know, the question, and I think what happens in the world – And what do you think about, you know, what happens is that this is what we love, and this is what we have to do to survive, and how do you mix those? And I think that's the question that so many people are always trying to build on.
Absolutely. You know, the challenge for the artist is almost always, well, what about money, and what about money? And it's legitimate. And the thing about money is, if you think about... if you start viewing your life, and there's let me back up. There's a reason we often some people don't like mixing their art with commerce, and they get very nervous about it. And I think for good reason, because there is a temptation to view our lives as simply a lifelong exercise in not dying. In other words, the only point is to survive. That's it. We're only to our only job is to not die, not to live, mind you, simply not die. And that is a survivalist mentality. And the ironic thing about a survivalist mentality is, in the end, slowly, secretly, insidiously, it is suicidal. Because if you're only meant to survive, your life is not actually meaningful. It's simply a thing to maintain, like anything that is just like a loaf of bread. And so it and things that are not meaningful are meaningless, are disposable, and so you're disposable. And so you actually, in your attempt to think only about survival, become inevitably suicidal in some form or another. I'm not saying you're actually going to do it, but suddenly it has no meaning. And so art is all about finding meaning in the experience of life. And I say, when you can begin to marry the experience of money with meaning, now you're bringing the physical and the non-physical together. And actually, in my opinion, into their proper relationship. Let the body be in service to the spirit. You know, so let the money come in service to what is meaningful. Because I will pay good money for people to tell me that life is meaningful. I will drop it on the table in a heartbeat if one song reminds me why love is real, if one poem reminds me why it's worth the getting up every day, and that life is interesting and beautiful and curious and meaningful. I will spend money on that anytime, anywhere, because that's what keeps me going, and that's what art is for. And so if as an artist you can keep that perspective in mind, that you are offering people a reminder of why life is meaningful, and if you would pay for that, others would pay for that. Trust that it will come.
That's basically why we're still producing all this art these days with all the technology and all everything else. What are we using the technology for but to watch the movie or the television program or to listen to the radio or to read the book?
Yes.
It all goes back to that, to look at the pictures.
To look at to relate to each other and to communicate and to share, and to share why life is meaningful and that human beings need it to be meaningful. It's required. You know, when you write a story, Terry, what do? You look at you have a story idea, you know, things that are going to happen to these people, or these people who are going to do things, who are going to want things and try and get them and not get them and then get them and then do them. But what you're trying to do as a writer is to say, how do I look at this scene, this chapter, this book, what perspective can I look at it so that it is meaningful? So it's not just a bunch of crap that happened and who cares. No, why was it meaningful? Why is learning meaningful? Why is love meaningful? Why? And that's what the writer gets to ask and answer.
So then what do you think about marketing? You know,
Asked. Yes. All right. So I told a great story. This is a funny story for me, at the book launch, and I wrote a blog about it, but it's so true. So I have this show, right? Obviously, here I am doing it. Now, I started this show, why? Not as a marketing tool for me, but because I've been doing these interviews, and I wanted to have longer conversations with people, and I love having conversations with people, so I created the show. That's why it was there. But as a result of the show, when Right Within Yourself came out, I had opportunities to be on other people's radio show because they had been on mine and I knew about them and blah, blah, blah. And I did the necessary thing that you're supposed to do. I wrote them emails, said, hey, I've got this book out. Can I be on your show? And they said yes. So I sort of did the standard marketing steps one must do at that point. But here's the point of the story. One of those people was a woman named Corey Miller, who has a show called Back Porch Writer on Blog Talk Radio. And she had written me a letter after, I don't know, a couple of months back saying, or about a month ago, saying, hey, I really like your show. And I said, that's great. I see you have a show. Would you like me to be on it? And she said, yes. And so I went on it. But what she told me is the reason her show exists is one day she was listening to Blog Talk Radio, stumbled on Author to Author, heard it, and thought, I want to do that too. And so she started a show, and I then got to be on it to promote my book. And so this is the point about marketing I want to make to writers who are not, who don't see themselves as salesmen, and they shouldn't in that way. Do the thing you love, create the book you love, and then represent it clearly and honestly, and find the way to get it out there so that people can understand what it is and why they would want to share it all with their friends and family. But you can't control people telling other people about your work and how cool it is. But that's how it's really going to travel. Your best job is to write the very best book you can and find the avenues that seem natural to you where other people can find it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes all kinds of sense. So you're saying no matter what, we come around to the beginning again and say, just write that book that you have to write, the one that you want to read.
Yes. And then, this is a weird thing, but when you're going to market it, don't just go through the steps. Say to yourself, and I know this sounds a little ooey-gooey to folks, but this is how I do it. I say to myself, I know there's a lot of things I could do to market right within yourself. I tune into what it feels like, what I would hope it would feel like to read the book, and I say, what is a good fit for that? You know, where is the right place for it? What's the kind of video I could make? Do I want to make a video? And in a way, just like when I'm writing the book saying, what should I write next? I say to the book, what should we do next? And I know it sounds odd, but the book answers me. Do this, don't do that. You know, John Green, who's a great marketer, young adult novels, said, I do Twitter because I like Twitter. I don't do Facebook because I don't like Facebook. And I think that's really good advice. I don't really understand Twitter, even though I do it, but I don't feel like I'm doing much with it. But I do feel like I get Facebook. And so I understand how to work with Facebook to help promote right within yourself. But always with the idea that I love the book and I want the people who might benefit from it to find it, as opposed to simply going through the steps one has to go through to market this thing, because there are 10 steps to successful book marketing.
Right. So you're basically recommending the book to your friends because it's something that you enjoyed. And so you know what they would like or don't like.
And then one or two of them might you know, have you ever recommended a book to someone else?
Tons of times, yep.
Okay. And did you know every single one of those authors who had written that book?
Nope.
Okay. You just sold a book to someone you don't know.
Yes.
You understand? We do it all the time.
Yeah, I do.
Tell for people we don't know. Well, that still, I think, is the way most books get sold. But you have to trust that. You have to trust what we call, you know, there's an old expression, let go and let God, you know, and it's very catchy and it's alliterative, and so it's nice. But I finally got it when I started seeing people recommending Right Within Yourself. And I thought, and I hadn't asked them to. And I thought, oh, that's what it means. Those people, if God is anywhere, it's in other people. And they're doing it without me telling them. They're just selling it for me. That's God or whatever, the universe, life, in action. My job is to write the best book I can and find a way so that people can see it and know that it exists. And then trust, and this is the thing that always gets overlooked in marketing conversations, trust that the book is worth sharing. Trust in the book. If you don't trust in the book, it won't travel. You've got to believe it's worth sharing with other people, and someone else is going to like it, and they're going to say, you should try this, because that's how it's really going to travel.
Well, I think every book has its audience.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Every book
that's
written
has an audience.
Yep, I agree. So what do you say about people who are ask about, you know, do I stick with this genre or do I move on to something else? Or, you know, all those kind of questions, you know how writers are.
Sure, that's strategizing.
Strategizing.
You can't, I'll tell you, and I will say, I speaking from experience, I've tried writing things that weren't of interest to me. And I don't mean, they were sort of interesting to me, and I'm a skilled enough writer, I could pull off something for a time. But if I'm not genuinely, authentically interested in it, I lose interest in it the same way I will a relationship. No matter how attractive, I haven't been single for a long time, but I can still remember what that was like when I would meet someone and say, she's awfully attractive and she's smart and she has a good sense of humor. This should work intellectually. Check, 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 right? And then because the love is not actually there, first argument, the thing falls apart. Well, it's the same thing with the book. If you don't love that book, if you're not authentically interested and curious about it, you will come to the middle or whatever where the thing isn't working, and you run into your first big snare. And just like in a love affair that was never had real fire burning in it, you will lose interest, and it will fall apart. You will feel like a failure for not having finished it or whatever. There's no point in switching genres to chase some, I don't even know what. Because who's to say, think about Jonathan Livingston Seagull. I love that book as an example. It sold 44 million copies. What the hell genre is that book? You tell me.
Exactly.
Talking seagull genre, yeah. There is no genre. And it sold, and no one wanted to buy it because no one understood why anyone would read it. But a lot of people did. Don't underestimate the unique thing that you have to offer. Maybe you'll create a new genre. People chasing genres maybe don't even really want to write. They just want to be rich. And I don't mind. I don't blame people for wanting to be rich. But writing's not the best way to do it.
Yeah, it's not quite as fast as getting rich quick. You know, when it takes you 3 to 6 months to write the first book.
Yeah, I know.
That's not so fast. Yeah, you could read 10 of those books in the meantime.
Yeah, no kidding.
So your goal for this is just to be inspirational, sit next to someone so that when they really feel down and say, "What? I can't go on anymore. I'm getting all the rejections."
That's right. My goal is to be a companion and to help people keep their attention where it belongs, keep their attention where they actually have power. If your attention is within yourself, where the story exists, where your curiosity exists, where your imagination exists, and where your choices actually exist and have influence, you will feel hopeful, you will feel your power, you will feel the effect of your choices, and you will know how to move forward. But if your attention strays outside of yourself, out to the theoretical editors you're going to send to, out to the theoretical readers you're going to hope pick up your book, out to the market, out, anywhere but inside you. If your attention travels outside of you, you are lost. You are lost in the maze of thought of the future that doesn't exist or the past that's already been lived. And there you will despair, and there you will feel no power, and there you will feel as though the universe is conspiring against you. If I can remind you in these little essays what it feels like to be within yourself, what it feels like to be grounded in your true, authentic, creative self, and we all have had that experience, and to remind you that's what matters, that's what you should shoot for. Everything else is outside of your control. Stay within that feeling. If I can provide that, a little dose of that every day, I consider this book an enormous success. And that's what I'd want for my readers, because that's what I want for myself every day.
I agree with you 100%. As a matter of fact, I've read a lot of this more than once because I do that exact thing. I sit down in the morning and I start to, my computer even kicks in, you know, I'm waiting for it to boot up. I can read one of these, and by the time I get back to my computer, I feel like I'm in the right space to start.
Ah, oh, Terry,
so
that's great.
Perfect.
That's just
so
what I want.
So you're doing another one? You have another one coming out?
Well, I wrote about 1,000 of them, so it's just a matter of collecting them at this point. You bet. You bet we do. Well, I just heard a little bird in my ear saying, believe it or not, this 30 minutes is up. Terry, thank you so much.
Wow.
This was a blast.
Yes, it's always fun. I love this stuff. So I'm so glad that it's working out for you, and congratulations. This is a good book.
Thank you, Terry. At 10 Months in Wonderland, everybody, pick it up again. Oh, I've got to go soon. But listen, before I do, remember, what it takes to write the book you want to write is what it takes to lead the life you want to lead, and vice versa. So if you know how to create, if you know how to listen and tune in and write, you can really do anything. It's the same process. You're already teaching yourself how to live as you teach yourself to write, and vice versa. All the same. Just do it, people. All you need inside of you. Very interesting.